the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and through a confluence of events lasting your entire life, you have been led to this moment, joining me on this podcast. Wow. That's the high point of this podcast. It's going to go downhill from here, but that's okay because you've reached the pinnacle. Boom. All right, you guys, welcome one and all. If you're just joining me, wow, that's the topper. And this, by the way, is the best take. The last three were almost unintelligible that I had to stop, delete, and start over to some sort of achievement of semblance of literacy. Okay, good. I'm rolling today. Here's why. I am back from my mini vacation. It was 2 days. Got a little break. I went back and listened to last week's podcast. I'll tell you why. Because I did the podcast while I was away, and I did it while drinking a brandy. And there's just no way to know after that whole, pairing, what was going to be the result. So I went back and went, oh boy, is this a nail biter? Kind of pulled it off. It's okay. I did okay. I felt like it was okay. It was the brandy talking, so apologies for whatever I said there, but I felt like it rolled okay, sort of got the points that I wanted to make, and the fact that I was sitting on this like horrible 1970s stool, crouched over a bureau, I think I did okay. I think I did okay. Okay, I don't like to judge. I really do. I think judgment's fantastic, but more on that later. Actually, not even more on that later. Go back and listen to old episodes. Yeah, that's right. If you're just joining me, my goodness. Wow. It just keeps getting, I just have this idea that like the first group of people that listen to episode one are like the only people listening to this 127 episodes later, just like my mom and her two friends, my sister once every 15 episodes. Like I've just sort of got that crew. And then I'm just still talking to you guys as if, and I'm like, hey, I'm wearing that blue shirt you guys all know about, and it's just not applicable to anybody listening to this right now. So I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, but I will get to something that's hopefully of use to you. Each week, I come here to discuss my thoughts, my approach, my way of thinking about the modern world and our, as a species, role in it, our ability to either live really well and happy and healthy or not, and how to do that better. I mean, really, yes, I talk about the difficulties, but I think and hope that I offer a solution on a weekly basis. This, again, serves for many people as a reminder each week to continue the work that as I lay it out, and I'll more on that later, obviously, my small steps approach, but to always remind all of you why you're doing what you're doing, why you're even listening to this podcast, because you want to live better. You want to live healthier and happier. I believe you're designed for that. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but this week's episode is that also, the maintenance of that is extremely important. So you never get to the point where you sort of rest on your laurels and you go, all right, I'm happy and healthy. Good. Because the modern world is designed through marketing and economics and whatever. And I don't really care. Here's the thing. You're marketed to. And a lot of the stuff that you're marketed to, a lot of the products that are thrown in our face, most of them aren't that healthy. I mean, just take a moment to look at the commercials on television when you watch TV next. Pharmaceutical drugs, fast food restaurants. I mean, these are like, they're pervasive. They're what, Coca-Cola, these are happening. They're marketing to us. And they're effective because alcohol, they know that these are the things that get us high. They know that. Cars. I mean, they know that these are the things that they want us to mistake for real pleasure. They want us to mistake a fast food meal for happiness. And it doesn't happen, but that's what we'll buy into if we don't now and then check in to how we're living, touch base with ourselves, reground, reconnect. Now, do I believe that my approach is the best way to do that? Yes, I do. Do I admit that maybe there's other people who do? I don't know. Yes, of course. I'm not the only one. I just happen to think mine's the best. So that's why I have a podcast about it. You could think someone else is better, and you should if that's appropriate. But it's not a competition. I'm just putting out my deal. And if it fits for you, fantastic. And if it doesn't, there's a ton of other people that are awesome too, that are doing their deal too. Like I said last week though, my guru sensitivity, my sensitivity of the BS detector sensitivity is, you know, do judge. Use your judgment. Look at the people who are talking. And are they walking the walk? Because there's a lot of people talking the talk. There's no doubt about it. Everyone's talking. They've got a lot of talking out there. Who's walking the walk? Who are the people? And trust me when I tell you, I fully know that I could not be that person for you. Fantastic. Because I want you to be happy, and I'm not joking. I want you to live a happy and healthy life. And I did an episode a long time ago, by the way, that I just was reminded of, which is what's on your table. And the point is that everything's on the table. Everything is on the table as far as what will make you happy and healthy. So I don't want you to lock into here and go, this doesn't quite work for me, but, you know, I probably should just stay here. Don't. I mean, and I'm not kidding. Like, find something that locks for you. I said this last week. I'm not going to be a multi-million listener guy. I'm just not. My music wasn't that way, and I just don't think my personality is that way. But I always, as a musician, as a singer-songwriter, had a following, and it wasn't big, but it was real, and it was loyal, and it was like there was people who got it, and the people who come here and stay here get it. They sort of get, and by the way, it's like all ages, there's no uniform, like this is the type of person who listens to my podcast. Like, it's just some people get it. Now, are you the best people? Of course. You're the most elite, the most intelligent, frankly, the best looking. And that's objective. And you're, because you're small steppers. So it makes you better than everybody else. I don't want to be unclear about that. I want to make sure that I drive that point home. But for all the little people who don't get what we do, sorry for them. Of course, I'm kidding. Wow. And the thing is here's what I've drank today. Since I got home, I mean, I had my fruit smoothie. This is my dial back day. So no dessert tonight for me. And I'm okay with it. I'll more on that in a second, because man, am I okay with it. But I had a beer earlier when I was typing up the notes and stuff, and now I'm having a mushroom coffee. And it's good. I'm digging. I didn't have a mushroom coffee for a long time. I was on my little trip, and then I came home and did the podcast obviously there, so I didn't do the mushroom coffee there. Didn't have it with me. I did have crunch berries with me. That might have fed in a little bit of the madness of last week's episode. I don't know. I got some good feedback on it, which, by the way, leads me to this conclusion. And I've had this conclusion about 40,000 billion times in my life, and I still like kind of question it. And now I'm really getting to the point, maybe it's my age, 47, where I'm like, okay, I'm going with this. And here's the conclusion. I don't know what to do that's going to be super successful. The thing is, and this is not a joke, most podcasts that I've done of the 127 where I go, that kind of didn't quite connect. I get more feedback from those of people going, wow, that was really good. Thank you. That was a really good episode. That really hit home with me, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm not kidding. It's happened so many times that it's not an accident. Like, I just realize I don't know. And every moment of energy, every bit of energy that I apply to trying to think like, well, what would be the best way to do this for you guys to get? I don't know. All I can do is be more authentic, just keep that practice of being more honest, more transparent, more authentic, more me, and it's going to connect to the people that it connects to, and it's not to the people it doesn't. And that's just the best I could ever do. But if I try to craft something that I think is going to hit or become viral or even bacterial, I'll lose every time and I won't be happy in the process. Okay? Ain't going to do it. Ain't going to freaking do it. Good. Wow, that was Randy. Randy the mechanic just popped in there just for a second. Treat your wife nicely. Okay, I'm going to replace these spark plugs here, but for the moment, what you want to do is bring her a 12-pack. You take 10 of them. You give her 2. That's marriage counseling. Wow. I almost don't even want to apologize for that. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know that's Randy. And he pops. Look, just because he doesn't appear in the podcast every week, he's still here. He's in my heart. Okay, few quick announcements. Thank you to the iTunes reviews that I've been getting. donations. Thank you. And for real, like it's for real. You don't have to pay for this. It's free. That's the whole point. But a few of you have come forward and said, hey, I'm going to kick you some money because this has helped me. And I think that's really nice and not necessary at all, but just it really does help me come here every week and put the time in that I put in here, and which is substantial. It's what it is. But I love it. It's a labor of love. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website where you can find out everything about me as a private health coach. Also donate, obviously, like I said, but you can also buy Approaching the Natural merchandise, t-shirts, mugs, What Would I Do, bracelets, WWID, and also custom signed copies of my book. So anyway, thanks to everybody who does that and jumps in there like that and shows support. Another way you can do that, by the way, shoot me an email. Tell me how things are going, because I love that as much as anything else. I think that's just excellent. I head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn, and we have a series of retreats, cooking, nutrition, healthy living. Just finished one up. We've got these enhancement packages, they call. Like, you could book any time of year. You pop this little private retreat on top of your stay. It's private. So this mother and daughter came to do one of those, and it was the nutrition-based one. It came with a cooking class, but mostly it was the classes with me, and had a phenomenal time from Los Angeles. They were so fun, and it was like I felt guilty for like them having to pay for it because it was just fun. And I hope they got something out of it, which I think they did. Otherwise, they just lied to me, which is not cool. But you know how people in LA are. I moved up here from Los Angeles. I never told the truth until I moved up to where I live. Okay. So anyway, go to StanfordIn.com to learn about those enhancement packages. Those are like the things that work the best because we're pretty remote. So fixed date retreats are sometimes hard for people, but these little pop in and make yourself a little retreat work really well because it's any time of year. So whenever you have time off, you pop up here and do the deal. Good. April 1st through the 3rd, I'll be at the Marshall, Texas Health Fest. I think I'm speaking on April 2nd. I connected with a guy who I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. And I'm going to do a podcast episode there, record it there, and interview this guy. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm very excited about it. You probably may have not heard of him even, but he's super cool. And we follow each other on Strava. Gotta love the Strava. Anyway, so that'll all be April 1st through 3rd. I know there's some podcast listeners coming, which is super fun for me to see them. This is like a premier veg fest. I didn't really even get the gist of what that was when they asked me to speak. I mean, I knew it was like a good one, but it's in this like little town, Marshall, Texas, where the mayor is plant-based and he's like helping the town and everyone's super supportive and it's awesome. But they get these people from like coming all over the place. It's very cool. I can't wait. Jeff Stanford's coming with me. He's got the cookbook, the Stanford Inn's cookbook is out. Jeff and Joan Stanford did it, called Dining at the Ravens. They didn't ask me to plug this, but I'm gonna. Because it's super cool what they've done in their 35 years of owning the Stanford Inn. And they've got a cookbook out, Dining at the Ravens. And it's out now, but he's going to be traveling to Marshall, Texas as well to, you know, sit and hang out and talk to people about his cookbook and sign copies and stuff like that. So he and I are flying together. Just in, I will be speaking again at the New York Veg Food Fest, May 7th and 8th. I'm actually speaking on the 8th. May 8th, that's a Sunday. That's nycvegfoodfest.com. I will be doing a talk there. I think I'm doing like my Approaching the Natural General talk, which will be fun. But if you feel like coming out there and you're living in the New York area, come say hello for the love of God. Great. Edinburgh Veg Fest, I'll be there August 20th and the 21st, and then the World Veg Fest in October. So my year is filling up. I told you there was going to be other stuff, and there is. Look at that. Crazy. It must be the mushroom coffee. It's giving me super strength and it's getting me out in the world. Wow. YouTube videos, you guys. Listen, Sid Garza Hillman, you can find me on all matters of social media. But to discuss YouTube, Sid Garza Hillman is my video channel. You can just search on Sid Garza Hillman. All this stuff comes up, okay? However, just posted a video this morning. This was not a conscious decision on my part. Like, I didn't go like, I have to post a video every whatever. But just for the last few weeks, it's kind of been clicking. Like, I've just had stuff going on and it's been happening. And I'm kind of, this is in like a bigger picture thing, is that, I talk about the arsenal of experience and the small steppers way of diving into stuff that you'd never dream of trying before, but you do because it doesn't freak you out because you're doing it so minimally. What's cool about that is you actually, I'll just use my YouTube channel as an example because this is exactly what's happened. I think I have like 27 or 28 episodes, okay? Not a lot, like compared to other channels, like it's just a lot. But I sort of dove in there and so I did a video and then I would sort of wait for like a month and a half and then I'd sort of do another one. And the first few you can tell are a little just like me, a little more me, a little more, I think, frankly, boring, and it's fine. But so you get past that stuff and you get past it in a way that you learn more every time you do it. And with that, you get this confidence of this baseline confidence that allows you to stretch and allows you to relax and allows you to express even better. And it's so cool. I mean, anybody who, you know, if somebody came to me and said, listen, I want to be a musician, I'd be like, get on stage. You know, it's like ultra running, get on your feet, just get on your feet. I was just talking to, I did a 20 miler yesterday with Sid and my buddy Bree and my new buddy Max, who lives at the Stanford Inn. He's an intern there. Freaking amazing runner. Most he's ever run 13 miles, like 3 years before. And he just did a 20 mile yesterday. Like at 13.2, he was like, this is the farthest I've ever run. It was super. And then he ran 7 more miles. Unbelievable. He's 22. So, you know, he could probably fly. But this experience, you know, it's a get on your feet. Do it. And then if you start it, and you know, look, I'm not going to be trite because the quote on the poster would be just do it or the Nike slogan. But I think that doesn't, just do it is like carpe diem. It's like it's too lofty a thing for us to wrap our heads around in the moment to be like, I mean, we get it. We sort of understand it. Yes, just do it. But carpe, seize the day. But when push comes to shove, life, family, jobs, commute, it's like, yeah, but I got bills to, you know, like it's hard. And so what I just, look, I'm coming at it with the same goals you are, which is live a fuller life. You know, do more cool stuff, the basics of that. And I just think that getting in there, making a crack in that wall of behaviors that I talk about so often, that's the way you do it. You start. When you start something, like I said, last couple episodes, magic happens, not frou-frou magic, but stuff that you go, holy crap, like this is kind of cool. So with my YouTube channel, it's just like I've done 27 videos. Is it a ton comparatively? No. Is it a ton for me? Yes. 27 movies, little movies I've done. I'm quicker editing. I know what works and doesn't. And I'm not talking about marketing, you guys. I'm talking about, for me, stuff that I like. And I realized, like I just said 10 minutes ago, that's all I got. Like, I don't know what works. Every time I try to push that, I tend to not be right about that. And I think it's because I'm removing the authenticity out of the equation there when I think, okay, let me do something that's going to be like this other person or do something that is, I think is going to play well. It's like, I can only do what I do. I realize that and feel good about it. I can fake a whole bunch of stuff. I can look at popular YouTubers and try to make movies that look just like what they do, but it's not going to be like what they do because they're doing their thing. So this is a life lesson. This is like, you guys find what makes you happy. You get to the point where you can actually trust your instincts. You know what that means? That means that instincts, see, I wasn't even going to discuss this week, but I think that things like intuition, everyone goes, trust your intuition, trust your instinct. My feeling about that is that it is more about first finding out who you truly are, and though that person's instincts and intuition are the ones you trust. But I think that if you're not clued in to who you truly are, I think if you're not clued into how you want to live your life, then the intuition and the instincts you trust are of somebody else's. They're of the person that was you when your parents told you who you are or all those things. It's like, I don't think it's you. I think that the more attention you give to what you stand for, to figuring out what you stand for, the better your instincts and intuition are going to lock up with that truly you person, regardless of whether you're living like that yesterday or not. So that's my 2 cents on that. For me, as I, in my own practice, and anybody just joining me, this is a practice, just is absolutely a practice. This is lifelong, a way to engage in your life, a way to be attentive. The more in my own practice that I become very clear about who I am and how I want to live, the more I find my instincts and intuition fully locking up. The more I just completely trust myself, not yet, but more and more, and need to listen to others less. I sort of like get it. I get it about who I want to be. I get it when I'm watching a video, I go, this works, that doesn't work. I don't have to go like, is this technically correct given the, you know, film school kind of, you know, opinion of this works and this doesn't? Or does this work for me? Does it? Do I feel it in my gut? Well, whose gut's feeling it? Whose gut's feeling it? As I progress in my own practice, more me than not me, but not 100%, may not ever be. But the engagement stays and the practice stays. Okay. I don't know why I got on that. I don't know why you guys got me to go on that. It's not cool. I'm busy. I've got things to do. When you guys make me get on tangents, then that's a distraction for me. How dare you? How dare you? You know, I love you guys. I love you guys. You could actually just fully come out on the other side of this podcast and distract me. I still love you. So I did an episode on YouTube. Wow, that was like a YouTube tangent. But I did a movie last week called On Recovery. And it was like, you know, I did it on vacation. So the idea was, you know, you think I was going to say that you got to go on vacation. But what I was saying is this 2 days that I got away does virtually nothing for recovery, essentially. It's like 2 long days of driving and then 2 days of kind of being busy and doing fun stuff. And it's great, but it didn't reset my clock. The idea is we got to figure out ways to infuse recovery throughout our days. So watch the video. However, I got a comment from somebody who watched the video. Very nice lady. And she said, you know, I think she liked the video. Well, she said she did. But that she's a school teacher. And it's sort of like this thing of where she gets to school and then just game on, you know, just the whole day, just like kids and just craziness and work and everything else. And she really needs this kind of thing. I don't know her, but I was willing to bet $1 million, which I didn't. I didn't even tell her that either, because had I lost that bet, my God, talk about I'm going to need donations. You know what I'm saying? I said, I'll bet you, or in these words, you can look at the comment. I can't remember what I said. I'm paraphrasing myself. How just pompous is that? That I'll bet you there's times during the day where she's not fully engaged with the kids, that they're on an independent study or they're reading something or they're writing something or it's a test or something where she's not actively teaching in that moment. She said, yes, there are times where she's not, they're doing something on their own and she's, but she said she uses that time grading papers, working. So here's what I said. I said, that's the time that you cut into. Now, the important thing to note here, this is a very practical, this is why I hope this helps you guys practically speaking, because I'm not advising her to not get work done. That may be the only time she can get work done. What I'm advising her is that it is more than useful. It is a lifesaver to take 30 seconds or 1 minute of that work time, which she could do, and take a couple deep breaths, get up and walk around the class or something, go out in the hallway. Do something that breaks that up, that just resets your clock even just a little bit. Now, for those of you who are like, well, I can't spare 1 minute, I would say without even knowing you, that's probably not true. But even if it is, here's the argument I'm going to make, and I'm going to pop into this later on in this episode, that the more she learns to just take that deep breath, the more she learns to break up that day, this is for me is my integrated exercise, I believe that that makes you more efficient. I believe it gives you more energy. I believe it gives you more focus. Why? Because it's lowering overall stress. The more cracks you make into your day-to-day, the lower your chronic overall stress becomes. Again, chronic stress is spike after spike after spike after spike after spike. So if she's spiking during the teaching and spiking during the work between the teaching and there's never a real time to recover, if she can build in even a minute, it all comes down. Guess what works when the stress is lower? Your brain works better. Sorry, guys, this is scientific. When chronic stress comes down, your body and mind function better. It's a fact. So the less stressed you are, the more attentive you are, the more aware you are, the more present you are, it works. So while she might go, well, I can't really spare that minute, she could become possibly more efficient by giving up that minute to a little more recovery and make it up in being more efficient with more work that she does when she's working. Okay? I've seen this many a time, and I've absolutely seen it myself in my own life. Okay? Good. Good point by me. The other thing I did, video I did that I posted today, actually. You see, I'm churning out videos. Crazy, right? 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks in a row. Nutty, right? Is in the everything in moderation. The title of it is Everything Not in Moderation. Boom. That's where I stand on that. You're going to have to watch the video to find out really what I'm talking about there. But I don't buy into that. I don't buy into it. Okay. The integrated exercise is starting to take hold with some people who were given it a shot with great benefit, I believe. Again, I just mentioned it, but it is a way to break up your day by not having to sacrifice any productivity. And in fact, I would believe it to be adding productivity if that's your bag. Got a tweet today from a guy who said he was pausing the, I love this guy, I actually follow him back. I think it's that guy with a beard, I think is his name, or his tweet thing. Check him out. Twitter handle. I just said tweet thing. Am I the word? Like I've said, I'm bad at social media, but that's not a joke. Anyway, he said he had to pause the podcast of my podcast, pausing the Approaching the Natural podcast to go run the stairs. Boom. Is that the coolest thing ever? So he's like a full integrated exercise, and he hashtagged integrated exercise. I don't even hashtag integrated exercise. That's what he did. I didn't even do that. I think he's like the second person to do it. I still haven't done it. No, it's not a point of pride, by the way. I just am just inept. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. My first task, I'm still not good at social media. In my first task, I'm like, I'm not good at social media. Whoa. That's where I stand on that. Okay. What else? Oh, but so anyway, so the integrated exercise is a perfect example of what I kind of want to get across, which is there is the breaking up of the day. There's infusing energy. But the reason why I integrated exercise is because this is approaching the natural. This is approaching the natural. And I believe that it's natural for us to move our bodies in an integrated way. I don't think we had 9 hours or 10 hours of sitting at a desk in the way that we've evolved. I don't think we've adapted to that. I don't believe that kids sitting playing video games in their houses for hours on end, I don't think we've adapted to that. I don't think our kids are getting healthier as a result of moving around less. I mean, I'm not that old, but when I was a kid, we had video games. We had Atari 2600, which, by the way, is still the best video system out there. I mean, isn't it amazing? Like, that technology has not gotten any better. Like, it's Pong and Tank and Missile Command are still better graphically even than any game out today. I find that fascinating because usually technology gets better, but the Atari 2600 is still the best system. It's amazing what they were able to do back then. We played video games, but for the most part, we were outside, at least in my neighborhood. Like, we were outside. We were riding bikes. We were exploring whatever we could do. We were making up games. We were building bike jumps and playing football. Like, we were outside. Kids, many kids today aren't doing that. In fact, my kids, like, it's an effort. You know, we make sure that this happens. We're like, get outside. Like, it's sunny outside. Go. There's so much to distract a child, and if we as parents aren't on top of it, they will sink into the things that, guess what, we do too. As adults, we'll sink into the phone and the apps and the this and the that at the expense of actual free time that we don't think is free time, but it freaking is, that we could be outside too. These are the moments I want you to be aware of. These are the moments I want you to learn to be aware of, because they're there. This is the recovery video again, which is we've got it. We got the time somewhere, and we just need to learn to recognize where we can make dents in that time. Like that school teacher, like, she just, her perception of her life was, I get to work and it's just, I don't have a single break. I argue that you do. It's just that you have to redefine what a break is. If a break is 30 minutes in your brain, yeah, you don't have time for a break. Absolutely. Who does? Who has time for a 30-minute break multiple times per day? If it's 30 seconds is a break, which it is, then you do have time. then you absolutely do have time. The only question is what you do or what you're doing with those 30 seconds or minutes throughout the day. Right now, for most of us, including me, unless I'm aware of it, it's checking my email, checking my phone, checking my Instagram, checking my right? Okay. Good. On a physical level, and this is what I really wanted to mention about this. On a physical level, things like, and this speaks to our natural evolution and of moving our bodies, but the lymphatic system, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, but the lymph fluid that circulates, keeps us clean, helps us fight infection, helps us get rid of cancer cells, doesn't have a pump to circulate. Our blood has a pump. It's called the heart. The heart pushes the blood around the body. The lymph system pushes in basically one direction, but that's not that important. But it relies on movement. It relies on muscular contraction. It relies on a physical body that is moving around. So it's like integrated exercise. I don't even need to really know that, except for just something that I studied. But I don't really need to know that. For me, I look at the human body and go, we're not meant to sit on a couch. Right now, we've not adapted to it. Maybe in 1,000 years, if we last that long, maybe our bodies will become more efficient by doing sitting on a couch and ordering Domino's pizza, which, by the way, will definitely be around 1,000 years from now. Even if human beings are not, Domino's pizza will be there. And if we've adapted to ordering pizza on the couch and watching video games all day, fine. But that ain't us now. We have not. We have not adapted to that now. I'm sorry. I'll argue with anybody to tell me that until the cows come home, because we're not getting healthier as a species. The way that I look at it is adaptation is the body's ability to create a new normal around something external to it, such that it can behave and thrive in that setting. So if we, at the point that we can adapt to sitting watching video games, means we're not carrying extra weight, means our immune systems are functioning well, our lymphatic system is circulating very well, we have low blood pressure, low blood cholesterol, we have flat stomachs, we're not carrying extra, you know, everything else, we're fighting infection efficiently by sitting in front of a TV. Right now, that ain't happening. Okay, when we adapt to Twinkies, it means that Twinkies will have the things that our bodies now can use to become supremely healthy. That ain't happening yet. Okay, trust me, the body's trying to figure out a way to survive on Twinkies and Big Macs. It is. It's just right now that doesn't provide the tools. Maybe there'll be enough adaptation to where we can utilize the stuff in Twinkies in a much better way. But right now it ain't happening. Okay, and it's not happening. And you know, Twinkies represents basically a lot of kind of what people are eating, not literally Twinkies, but stuff that's empty calories, stuff that doesn't have the stuff that helps our bodies run well. I was a guest today on Matt Frazier's No Meat Athlete Academy. I don't know if you guys are members of that thing or not, but I did an interview today and talked a little bit about that today and just kind of that whole thing. So if you are members of his academy, and he didn't ask me to plug this and I'm not connected to it at all, I didn't get paid to be on it, you can go check that out. It's kind of a cool thing he's got going over there. So good. No Meat Athlete. Boom. Moving on. So anyway, lymph, right? Serious. Okay. One last thing I want to mention before I get into the subject of this week's episode is part of what I now call my Food is Exhausting series. I mentioned it the other day when the other two podcasts ago, I can't remember. That food is becoming exhausting to me. Like the discussion, and I know I need to do it. I'm a certified nutritionist. I teach classes and I love the classes. Like the people, like I just said, the mother and daughter who joined me, like it was super fun. And I love that. But I make my goal very clear with people who I'm teaching. And my goal is that I'm teaching you enough in a very short time so that you don't have to think about food as much. And of course, I'm teaching you the knowledge, but I'm hoping, like with the mother and daughter, like this was the retreat, which was to learn the implementation of this. Otherwise, the knowledge is useless. If you don't do anything with it, don't bother. But the idea is that through my implementation tools, which is, of course, small stepping, and coupled with the knowledge, you get to the point where you don't have to think about stuff so much. It's exhausting, the discussion about food. It is so exhausting and so limiting in a way. And I keep hearing things about diet and this and paleo and veganism. It's so isolating. It's such an isolated and reductionist discussion. It's so little when you really think about it, when you really get into it, it's so little about actually living healthy and happy in the modern world. And it's frankly just a bigger picture than food. And we just want to make it about food all the time, but it's a bigger picture than food. It's what I argue, how you approach your life. How you approach your life is manifested in the way that you eat, in the way that you move your body, in the way that you socialize, in the way that you create, in the way that you get outside and take deep breaths. And you know, it's like all these things start with you and the way that you approach your life. And do you come at your life with, I care about myself and I want to take care of myself for a whole host of reasons like family and everything else, but it starts with me? Or are you just so distracted that it's like, ah, screw it? Okay? All right. Part of my Food is Exhausting series is that I wanted to just mention this point. Even if you took two people, same age, same sex, two guys, 45 years old, okay? Both 6'1", both 180 pounds. And yet you trap them in an apartment. By the way, this would be the worst reality show ever, but I'd probably watch it. You trap them in an apartment and you feed them exactly the same stuff for a month. Feed them exactly the same. They move their bodies exactly the same. And the same quantities of food and same quantities of fitness. You would most likely still get different results. And here's why. And this is why these kinds of ideas are pretty limiting. Like if you, for instance, if you had one of them eat the paleo diet and one of them eat a Mediterranean diet and one of them eat a plant-based diet, you might still get, I'll put it this way, of course you're going to get different results most likely, but the results may not be accurate and or what you expected or have anything to do with the nutritional value of the food. And here's why. Different results could occur potentially in both those scenarios because of those individuals' interpretations of their own realities, especially of being trapped in an apartment and eating food every day and moving. Maybe one of the people loves the food that they're eating. Maybe one of the people doesn't love the food. You don't know how they were raised. You don't know how they're interpreting this. Now, what does that have to do with it? Because if one person is under more stress than the other because of how they're interpreting their lives, they could process food very differently. If somebody up to the point that they enter that apartment has been drinking their whole lives or smoking cigarettes or anything like that, their gut bacteria could be of a completely different ball game than the other person sitting next to them. Same height, same weight, same exact diet while they're sitting in that apartment. But the two outcomes are completely different because that one person's gut bacteria is different because they're stressed, they don't want to be there, or they're more excited, or they're a little more relaxed in terms of their own personalities than the other person. It's too hard to quantify these things. It's too hard to quantify. Not to mention the fact that our ability to recover, back to my video, but ability to recover, the ability of the what they call glucocorticoids, the hormones that flood in our body under times of stress, that trigger all the things that happen under stress, like, guess what, guys? Weakened digestion. So you can be eating the food, but you're under stress. You're not going to be digesting fully. That means you're not going to be getting the nutrition out of the food that you're eating the same as the guy sitting next to you. But the ability of the body to recover from stress, in other words, for the glucocorticoid levels to come back down, because they come up during stress, and then they come back down during recovery. I've mentioned this many, many episodes ago, but that is learned in the frickin' womb. That has to do with the stress of the mother, how much under stress that mother is, how much stress hormones were present during the pregnancy. How was the mother's nutrition? All these kinds of things. Can you get on top of that in your life? Yes, you can reprogram and you can sort of learn methods of, by the way, journaling and meditation and eating really well and all these kinds of things that can help you recover. By the way, what I'm talking about is making cracks, you know, even more than a 30-minute meditation once a day, little moments of meditation throughout the day, in addition, maybe. My point is that there are so many variables and so much complexity to the human person, and I don't mean just body, I mean mind, that to say, okay, well, if I feed you this exact food and I feed that guy that exact food, at the end of the month, I'm just going to know which diet works the best. It's a bunch of absolute crap. It's absolute crap. It's absolute crap. You can be fully healthy on a whole bunch of different diets, but the fact of the matter is, it is about lowering chronic stress via nutrition, via exercise, via social network, via creativity, via deep breathing or meditation, via journaling, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? I just, man, what a distraction these things become. Okay? We just want to know which diet's the best one objectively. Now, all things being equal, if you had two clones, yeah, okay. If you had two clones that interpreted reality the exact same way and had the exact same bacteria in their gut and the exact same blood type, I mean, literally clones, perfect representations, two robots, exact. Yes, okay, based on the nutritional value of that food, in theory, you'd be able to do two different diets and figure out which one was more substantial. Scientifically, yes, we can measure the nutrient levels of food and know, okay, these foods are higher in nutrition and more quality in their calories than these foods. Sure, we got that dialed in. We know that, but we still argue certain things because there are athletes right now on ketogenic diets, which I think are absolutely crazy and horribly unhealthy and put the body in a massive amount of stress. But there's athletes who are on ketogenic diets who are kicking total ass and way better shape than I am and just doing amazing stuff. But again, I'm looking long term. I'm looking for health. I'm looking for happiness. I'm looking for longevity. I'm looking for a continued practice of life that you actually are happy in, within. That's the goal here. It's not how fast you can run tomorrow. For me. If you're trying to win the Olympics, maybe short-term a ketogenic diet is going to get you a gold medal. Fine. That is just an essay in my bag. I don't do elite athletes. That's not my bag here, okay? Because I'm looking at lifestyle. This is a philosophy. Like I said last week, this is a philosophy of living, a philosophy of health and happiness, okay? Woo! A lot of anger there. I better take another sip of my mushroom coffee. Thank you. Thank you for making me recover from that tirade of madness. Okay, can we talk about the subject of this week's episode? Or is that okay with you guys? Because so far it's been constant tangent, okay? And it just makes me mad. Routine maintenance. This is what I was talking about in my own head this week. I was remembering my father was an airline pilot. Okay, I wasn't remembering that. I knew that, but I was remembering what he would tell me, which is when I was a kid, like we'd be on an airplane. Whatever. Okay, there's like these different maintenance levels. There's like, you know, maintenance A, maintenance C, B, and C. If you notice, I just got the alphabet wrong. A, C, B. I think that's how it goes. And there are different levels of routine maintenance on every aircraft. And this was the airline that my dad worked for. I'm sure it's the same with every airline, but there's like a level A, and then they do check a few things out on that. And then in certain time, regular time period, they do a level C, a maintenance B. I did it again. Maintenance B. Then they do maintenance C. And A is minimal. It's kind of checking some basic stuff. B is a little more in depth. And then C is like the bad boy. C is like they're getting in there and they're really checking the systems really, really closely. And then this is just ongoing. The point that I wanted to make is, as with our lives as well, to keep things running efficient, to keep things running well, we cannot, and this goes for health and happiness, we cannot wait until things go bad. Obviously, in the airplane analogy, that's the worst case scenario, is when we go, oh, I guess we need to check stuff because the wing fell off in the middle of the air. So I guess we should probably check stuff out. It's like the reason why they have those things in place is so they can minimize the chances of that happening ever. Same with our lives. But guess what happens to us in the modern world? We live our lives. We get busy. We've got families and work and everything else that I list all the time. And as a result of those things being in place, as a result of those things being in what we perceive to be set in stone, those are just things we do every day, we don't apply routine maintenance. We don't stop and check in enough to say, you know what, this isn't kind of right. I got to kind of tweak this a little bit because I'm not feeling okay. I'm fatigued. We will often not notice when there are problems. And by the way, this is going to reach back to last week's episode on relationships. We can get so used to things that we don't do routine maintenance on our relationships. We don't check in to say, you know, this is kind of dysfunction. This isn't like we're plugging ahead here, but it's actually not working. I'm plugging ahead because I've got caffeine and I've got alcohol and I've got all these things. So I'm plugging ahead every day, even though really if I checked in, I'd be like, wow, I'm really tired. I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not eating well enough. but I don't notice because I've got caffeine. So I'm just, boom, I'm just throwing it down, getting through every day and not stopping enough to say, let me perform a little bit of routine maintenance here. The problem is if you look at stress as, and this is, you know, in my studies of stress, it's sort of this picture of like feeling the best you can with the minimum amount of effort to do that. Like it's like, and I think it probably harkens back to this idea of of actual survival, which is really what our stress response, you know, evolved to be, a moment of, you know, actual, I always ask the people that I teach, I'm like, are you under stress? And they go, of course, yes, right? Human in the modern world. I go, how much is that from a life-threatening situation? And they're like, none. Most people just like, no. Well, there was that one time in 1976, but it's not day to day. It's not a survival picture. But that whole thing plays to that in the modern world. It's like we now equate safety with, you know, not being under stress at all, when it's really not about life threatening, but it's more about not feeling depressed, you know, having a maximum amount of pleasure. But the modern world has created this thing where we can actually pull that kind of thing off because light box food is so readily available. Because we don't have to move our bodies, because we don't have, most of us don't have to look for shelter every night, don't have to figure out how to get somewhere. We know how to do all those things. And so in theory, it would mean our stress is pretty low. We get maximum security and safety from doing very little bit of output. We get a lot of food without having to run around for it and do all the work that it would take in nature to get that food. So we can, this illusion, and I really want to get to, is like the world feeds into this sort of desire for safety and survival. It feeds into this instinct we have in us. We want the idea of, we want to survive. We want to be safe. The fact that survival doesn't really come into the picture for most of us, and actual safety day to day doesn't really come into the picture for most of us, that's, so we have an illusion of all these things. Like we're marketed to say, you really need this to be happy. And we really don't. It's an illusion. And we think, and the more and more, I mean, look at pharmaceuticals, quick fixes. These are the very minimums of output. If I can still eat hot dogs four times a day, and if I just take this pill, I'm good. But you're not good, because we're not getting healthier. Pharmaceutical drugs are not the solution, at least not yet. Are they a good stopgap measure in some cases? 100%. And you'll never hear me say otherwise. But they're not a solution to the problem of health and happiness. They're not a solution to the struggle to live well in the modern world. They're not. They're played off to be. Quick fixes are played off to be. They're the things that are sold to us to say, you get maximum return for a minimum of input, maximum output, a minimum of work to achieve. And it ain't working. So we have this fear because of an artificial promise made by the marketplace. We have this fear of hard work, this fear of struggle, this expectation that we don't need to do anything, that we shouldn't have to struggle to get happiness and health. But it does take hard work. It takes hard work. Part of that hard work is to pop into our lives whenever we can and perform routine maintenance. The small stepper's way is to pop in even when you think all is well. Even if I asked you, is everything good in your life? If you're a small stepper, you're like, yeah, it's pretty good. But I check in now and then just to make sure. You want to know why we have to make sure? Do you want to know why we have to make sure even when we think it's okay? Because we're fooled into thinking otherwise. Because we have caffeine to keep us awake even when we really are fatigued. Because we have ibuprofen to keep us pain-free even though we're actually in pain. Or we would be if we didn't have something to deaden that reality. And for athletes who take ibuprofen so that they can work out, that's a perfect example. Maybe they can get away with it, but the fact of the matter is they're heading for a breakdown because they're not checking in with their bodies, who are trying to communicate with them to say, I'm pushing it here. This is not good for me. I can't sustain this level of stress. We have artificial modes of enabling us to sustain levels of stress that, frankly, we are not equipped to handle. We're just not equipped to handle. And we will break down. And we will break down via sickness or injury. Or unhappiness. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Okay? All right. Now back to the comment that woman left on my YouTube thing. Again, I want to make this point. It's like efficient. You can become more efficient. This is the payoff, okay? As if I need to like double sell you on this, but the payoff is that the more you perform, the more routine maintenance you perform, the more time of your day devoted to that. So you're thinking, well, if I spend more time, that's less time for me to work. It's less time with my family. It's less time for me to be productive. The irony is the opposite is true. The irony is it increases the quality of your experiences with your family, at work, your productivity, everything else. You become more efficient when you take a little bit of that time away and perform routine maintenance on your life. And I was remembering what happened to me when I got into college. I was at UCLA as my freshman year. It's on a quarter system. My first quarter at UCLA, I got put on academic probation. Okay. I got like a C and a D and a B. Something that it was like, I got literally, not a joke, you can go look up my records. Okay. I'm fully, whatever. Academic probation. And I remember my roommate at the time, this guy, Devin, he was a pretty cool guy, kind of a frat guy, but he's okay. I mean, he literally was a frat guy, but a nice guy. And he was really, as if those can't be the same. He really was supportive of me. And because he saw what was going to happen, which is that if had I kept that up, I would have gotten kicked out of school. Why was I on academic probation? It was like my freshman year. He was getting great grades. So it was just my experience of whatever coming from, you know, being away from home and all these kinds of things. So he said, I'll help you next quarter. Like we'll have to make sure you get going. Like he really stepped up to say, look, I'll help you do this. For whatever reason, and I still, looking back to this day, don't really know why this occurred in me. And it was not because somebody advised me. In fact, it was the opposite. But I remember that first quarter, I took the minimum amount of units to take to be a full-time student, which was 12 units, three classes of 4 units each. That's what I took, 3 classes. And I got put on academic probation. For whatever reason, my instinct at the time was to take 5 classes the following quarter. I took 5 classes the next quarter. And even Devin was like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, I'm stacking it. And I didn't say that, but I was like, I just want to take these classes. And I did extremely well the second quarter. And the reality is I had less time to study because I was taking more classes. My days were more filled up. I had more time in class and more assignments and more midterms and more finals, and I did better. And I believe it to be because with more time doesn't necessarily mean a better quality of life. With more time doesn't necessarily mean efficiency and increased productivity. Sometimes it means more time for distractions. Sometimes it means less efficiency. And I just dove into this thing and really got in contact, more connection to me. And I just was thinking about that in this week's episode because it was like, It was a wake-up call. Had I not gotten put on academic probation, I wouldn't have checked in with myself enough to know that I needed to fix something. I needed to be more engaged in the process. It wasn't an answer to say, then I'll do even less. It was an answer to say, I need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to put more expectation on myself. And I think in the modern, the reason I brought this up is because I think in the modern world, because of the marketing and the products out there, we have an expectation that we don't need to work hard, that we can get away with doing very minimal and that will still leave us happy and healthy. And it just is not a reality. It's just not a fact of life. Given our evolution and given the world we live in, it's not a fact. The world is designed such that we need to pay more attention, take more time out of so-called productivity time for ourselves, even if it's in measurements of seconds, to reset our clocks, because that's when we find out when there's problems. Otherwise, we may never know that there's problems because we're living with them because they're normal. How many relationships have we been in where we just keep plugging away and pushing away until it just gets so bad that there's a major breakdown because we never routinely maintained the relationship along the way. We didn't check in with our spouses or our partners. We didn't say, are you happy? Ask them. We didn't ask ourselves, am I really happy? We just keep pushing away and plugging away and taking the drugs and I mean pharmaceuticals and over-the-counter and recreational things that just kind of keep us moving in our lives, but not in engaged, happy ways. The routine maintenance of the small stepper is to pop in even when we think all's well. Because when we do, we go, you know what? All's not well. But because I'm a small stepper, it doesn't mean I have to freak out and have a breakdown. In fact, it's a way to avoid breakdown. Checking with yourself physically is a way to avoid, if you finally realize, like, I'm really fatigued and I'm getting a ton of sleep. I'm sleeping 10 hours a day and I'm super fatigued all the time. But up until now, I've been slamming down caffeine and keeping myself distracted from this fact. But now I'm a small stepper and I check in. It means get yourself to a doctor and find out why you're fatigued. It could be a thing. It could not be a thing too, but how great? How great before it becomes potentially something major? And I'm not here trying to scare you, but there is this thing of like, I discovered a tumor before it was too late. And sometimes those things are things that you could, you know, catch. The reason why we're becoming more successful, by the way, in the cancer world is in large part due to earlier detection. Well, you're not going to get anything detected if you don't check in with your own body in the first place to get yourself to a doctor, to realize things aren't working well for me physically or mentally, to avoid the breakdown, the nervous breakdown, the depression, because you never let it get that far. You never let it get that far. Because you're checking in and you're performing routine maintenance and you're taking time in your life throughout your day-to-day to check in to say, do I need to tweak a little thing here? I need to tweak a little thing there. I need to lower my little coffee here because I'm drinking too much coffee. Why am I drinking so much coffee? Because I'm exhausted. Why am I exhausted? Well, I'm not getting enough sleep. Okay, well then let me figure out how to small step into getting more sleep. Or I'm sleeping a ton, but I'm exhausted. Maybe am I exercising too much? Maybe that's fatiguing me. We don't know till we ask. And we don't know until we fix these things and go, yes, I'm pushing myself too hard, given the rest of my life, too much exercise right now. I got to bring this back down because I'm feeling the effects. But I wouldn't have known that because I'm jacking myself up on caffeine and just pushing myself through the run because that's what the training plan says to do. The small stepper checks in. Now, for many of us, when we're younger, we don't think about cancer when we're 70. Of course not. It's a weird thing for us to even consider that kind of thing. By the way, in nature, wild animals don't. However, and I don't think they do. Maybe they do. Maybe they're just like, yeah, I really need to watch my C-reactive protein levels. Maybe. Sure, I grant you that. But that sort of young person's like, kick the can down the road. Like, I'm going to party now and later I'll eat healthy when I'm 40. Okay, we all know how that potentially works out, okay? But the way that I kind of look at it is that the actions we take for our own health and happiness, it's almost, and this is not scientific, it's almost like it's a fixed amount. Whether we spread those little actions throughout our lives or we don't do anything until we have a breakdown and then, right? It's like the person who just smokes and drinks until they're 65, then they have a heart attack, then it's like, okay, now I'm going to eat really well, and now I'm going to exercise and they have to make all these amazingly huge changes because they had the breakdown, because they didn't do the routine maintenance. Of course, I'm not promising you that if you do routine maintenance, you're never going to have a heart attack. Like I said, I could have a heart attack and I'm living pretty damn well. I'm eating extremely heavy box food most of the time. I am doing integrated exercise. I'm taking deep breaths throughout the day, but I ain't going to lie to you. I'm under stress. There's a lot of worry on me. And it's what it is. And I'm trying to maintain my life in spite of that. I am trying in my own practice to infuse routine maintenance to check in to see how bad really is this? Is this manageable? Is this something that I can change? Is this something I can take steps to change? It's any age. It's hard to this thing of like, we don't know we're going to get cancer. So it's hard for us to say, I should do this, this, and this because I don't want to get the cancer that I'm 100% sure I'm going to get. If I told you guys you're going to 100% get cancer at the age of 70 unless you do these things now, we'd all do those things. Yeah, fine. I don't want to get cancer when I'm 70. Or we wouldn't. Or we'd be like, fine, that's 70. Who gives a crap? I'll go do this stuff until I get my cancer. But what a difference that would be. But it's this unknown of like, well, I don't know. I could do all these things and still have a heart attack. That's a bummer for most of us. The question is, can you do the things you're doing and still enjoy your life now and still minimize at least the chances of those things occurring? Like I said, I eat really, really well. I exercise. I take deep breaths. I'm not miserable. I'm doing actually because I live really well now. And also, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, I'd like to be around for my kids and my wife as long as possible. I'd like to just be alive as long as possible and really be alive, not just staying alive, but being alive. So I think about those things. But what mostly fuels my actions today is a drive to live really well and happy today. That is my drive. And routine maintenance is an extremely important part of that. It is the checking in via journaling. It is checking in to say, okay, in the swirl of my day, in the just the bombarding of just information that's just kicking us in the ass all day, bad news and good, and just, you know, like I said last week, like relating to thousands of people around the world just all the time. That's an amazing thing, but also it could be a detriment because it's just constant flooding of these things in work and my commute. And, you know, and all these things are just flooding and just swelling our brains with so much data and information. In that picture, it's massive. And we, in that picture, we don't check in and say, hey, am I good with this? Hold on. Just can I just have a second here to just check in? Woo, man, I got a gut on me. My belly's big and it's not an aesthetic thing. It's like, well, my body's under stress. Boy, I'm on 3 prescription medications for blood pressure and cholesterol. My body is way under stress. I've got aches and pains. I seem to be slamming a lot of the ibuprofen. I wonder why that is. Is there something I could do to sort of minimize that and understand that taking drugs like ibuprofen, they have a role, but the role isn't all day, every day, forever. The role is to help with inflammation and pain for short periods of time, not for the rest of my life. But I didn't realize this because I've been so busy with all the things that I do that I've needed these things to sort of get me through. And I do this just so that I can eventually, after 51 weeks, get to the point where I can take that 1 week of vacation. That's when I'll check in. That's when I'll relax. How's that working for us? How's that 2 weeks of vacation versus the 50 that we're kicking, you know, our butts into gear every morning, getting up and drinking coffee all day and drinking beer at night when we get home just to get through the day? How's that working for us so that we can work till the 2 weeks? Or can we figure out a way to perform routine maintenance on ourselves throughout those 50 weeks? And then we enjoy the 2 weeks vacation, we enjoy better. But in the meantime, we take our 50 weeks and we perform routine maintenance, sometimes a little deeper, sometimes just quick check-ins. But we do that, yes, I guess, to lower the chances of a breakdown later. But also we do that to keep ourselves engaged in our lives and to find out where maybe problems are about to start or are just starting, because those guys are the easiest ones to fix. The situations that are in the beginning stages, little bits of resentment to a spouse or a partner or a friend, little bits of anger, we nip those in the bud, that's easy fix. We let them fester and grow and grow and get totally blown out of proportion. That's when things get destroyed. That's when friendships get lost. That's when an inordinate amount of stress occurs on our bodies and we suffer the consequences mentally and physically from it. A successful life means periodic maintenance, little tune-ups before major breakdowns. And the small steps approach that I come here every week to talk about works exactly to that end. It is via my small steps approach, via a small steps list. It is routinely and daily sometimes, depending on your steps, checking in via a deep breath. But like I said, every step on a steps list is way bigger than the step itself. Because it's engagement in your life. It's how you realize that maybe some things aren't quite right. But it's not too late. It's the beginning. You caught it early. Early detection. And then you can have a better chance of success from finding that out then versus letting it grow and become worse and finding it out when it's too late or when it requires such a massive undertaking for you to get on top of it that, man, is that a bitch. All right, you guys. Now, I'm like, on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm like 9 proud that I ended the podcast with the word bitch. Did not see that coming. did not see it coming, and I apologize if that offended anybody. I don't know when those things come out, and for me, I'd have to learn how to edit. I've only done this 127 times. Do you think I just know how to push go and stop? You guys are awesome, and I really appreciate all the feedback that I get and the support that I get, and I hope that that it's, you know, that I'm shoving it back to you too, because I really believe in what I do here, and I really, really, really want you guys to live better. And I hope you believe me, but that's why I come here every week. I want you to live better and be happier and healthier. It makes me feel better to do that. It makes me feel better when I can liberate you guys from constraints, when I can take weight off your shoulders and allow you to do cool stuff. That's like all the complicatedness that we live with in the modern world, and we just want to be happy and healthy. We just want to hang out with our friends. We just want to do basic stuff and have a really kick-ass time doing it. We don't have that lofty of goals when it really gets down to it. We just want to cool stuff. We want to experience awesomeness. Okay? So I'm just going to end with just trite quote after trite quote. Experience awesomeness. I'm just going to leave it on the... Remember I said if we start at a high point, it just goes downhill? Boom. We landed on the ground. Email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, man. I'll take it. In the meantime, thank you for your support. Come back next week, because you know where I'll be? I'll be here doing the Approaching the Natural podcast. This is Sid Garza Hillman signing off. Be well.
nothing to you. You said life, you're grasping at the truth. You said life, you want to believe it's true. So what is put forth to me is I should stop. Living on instinct, acting by instinct, desperately not to think. But I'm not an instinct-driven man. But I'm not an instinct-driven man. Instinct-driven man.